Father, we are grateful again tonight for the Lord Jesus and all that he means to our hearts. We pray that these next few minutes will make him precious and real to others, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Every time I go back in the Midwest and speak, I get just a little bit of a huskiness in my voice. And so it'll take me a week or so to get over this. You bear with me. Tonight I'm going to read a text that I have come to many, many times over the years. In the second chapter of the book of Hebrews and the third verse, we have a phrase that's such a precious phrase, and it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" I read a true experience some years ago. There was a man that lived out in the country between Philadelphia and New York City, and his wife needed a few groceries. And so he walked down the Penn Railroad track for about 2.5 miles to a little village store, and he picked up a sack of groceries. Knowing that he would come back in the dark, he took a lantern along. And as he was walking home, he stumbled. And when he fell, he noted that there were 3 ties gone in the railroad track, and the rails were all bowed out. Well, he knew that many trains travel back and forth on this Penn Railroad as people commuted from New York to Pennsylvania, and he knew that unless this were discovered and made known, that there were going to be many people killed. And about that time, he heard a train coming in the distance, and he ran toward this train as hard as he could. And as he was running, he fell again and dropped his lantern and broke it. But he picked it up and then ran toward the train, and as the train got very close to him, he jumped to the side and took the lantern and threw it in the cab of the engine as it came by. Of course, the engineer understood when he saw the lantern that it meant danger. And he applied the brakes, and this train stopped approximately 100 yards from where otherwise it would have been a horrible wreck. Incidentally, this man was given the Carnegie Medal for what he did. But while all the people were safe and he became a hero for what he had done, have you ever thought what would have happened if the engineer had rejected the warning? You see, the Holy Spirit takes God's great love, and he takes Christ's great sacrifice, and he puts them before men and women, and he tells us that there is but one ultimate: if we neglect so great salvation, how can we escape? So we think tonight like this. If you're here, or if you know someone out of Christ, and certainly we do, it's time to stop to look and to listen. This is not a time to be frivolous. You see, we are here, and it's your soul that's in the balance. I'm going to think on this subject as quickly as I can, and I want to do it in three ways. I want to think of so great salvation, and I want to think how people neglect it, and I want to think about the consequences if and when you do. First, let's think about so great salvation. Oh, there are so many reasons that this salvation is such a great salvation. And yet, if I were to try, if I were to just try to stand before you tonight and think and speak on the reasons this salvation is great, I could stand here indefinitely with my years of experience and with all that I've seen and know personally. Let me tell you, I could tell you reason after reason after reason why this salvation is so great. And yet, I want to limit myself to just three reasons why it's so great. First of all, because of the fearful cost of it. I don't really understand any of them, and I know nothing about some of them, but the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians in one place tells us about seven great steps which were taken on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ to come from where he was and what he was to where we were and what we were. You see, before man can have salvation, someone has to pay the price. But there was none among the human race that could pay the price. The angels couldn't pay the price. There isn't enough silver, gold, wealth of oil, wealth of jewels, wealth of forests, wealth of rivers, wealth of lands, wealth of planets, wealth of galaxies that could have paid for our salvation. There was just one person that could do it. And he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I don't understand that. I read it. I believe it. You don't know what it means to be a president. You don't know what it means to be a chief of police. You don't know what it means to be a world champion fighter. You don't know what it means to be the world's greatest weightlifter. You don't know what it means to be many, many things just in the level of man. How could you know what it means to be God? That's what it is. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Paul said, though he were rich. How can you imagine that? The richest of men can't begin to understand this. Paul Getty, why his wealth is less than a drop in all the waters of this earth. He was rich. Yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. He thought it not robbery. He was made of no reputation. He took the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. In fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death. This one that had done nothing but give orders became obedient. And the obedience meant that he must die. And that death, not just in any death, but even the death of the cross. Now, I don't understand one of those seven steps. This begins to hint at so great a salvation. Now, none of us can understand the cross, even for a hardened criminal, much less the tender, innocent, righteous, pure, holy, harmless Son of God. But look there and think of the awful cost. Jesus dying. This is the ultimate price that was paid for so great a salvation. Certainly salvation while free, you couldn't say it was cheap, could you? We think often that something is free, it's cheap. But you see, this had to be free or no one could get it. It's so expensive that only one person in the universe could afford it. And for you and me to have it, it has to be given to us. So, we think how we could measure this cost. If you had all the wealth of this universe, do you suppose it would be enough? Do you think it's silver, it's gold, it's vast pools of oil, it's lands, it's natural resources? Do you think that any of these could begin to give a little slight down payment on this great salvation? When God nailed his Son to the cross, do you realize he beggared himself? This was everything. And all things were made by him, for him. And by him all things consist or hold together. Do you realize if he hadn't held that cross on which they nailed him together, it would have disappeared? Do you realize the spikes that they put through his hands and feet? He was the one that held them together. Oh, when sinner or saint once understands this, you don't have to beg and plead with them to do, to give, to go. Why, precious hearts, the Apostle Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. We're trying to get Christians to do and don't. Give them Christ. Get the love of God in their hearts. You won't have any trouble with them. When saints begin to quarrel and fight, it's because they've lost sight of the love of God. When they begin to lie about one another, when they begin to be stingy, when they begin to neglect the house of God, it's because the love of God is growing cold in their lives. Now, it's great because of the fullness of its contents. Listen, if I could set a vial of tablets out here, and I could say,
Take one of those tablets. Any time you get depressed, any time you're blue, any time you're discouraged, take one of those tablets and it'll all disappear. I would say, any time you're facing hardship, any time things seem to be running against you, take one of these tablets and all of these things will begin to work for your good. I'd say in this bottle, there is a panacea for every ill. There is in this bottle a remedy for your every sickness. Do you realize? Here sits dear Sister Brown with arthritis coming into her body. I am aware I had it. I am aware that money means nothing. If you had it and you could give it up to get rid of that pain. Here is a gospel that if you take it, it'll heal arthritis. I know. See, I'm not guessing, I know. The contents of this gospel. Where else can you get rid of your sins but this gospel? This gospel contains the remedy for your sin. I've seen it heal broken lives, broken homes. I've seen it go out and do the impossible. Have confidence in this gospel. I hear saints and they'll be, and I'm not criticizing you, you understand, because you've got to come along before you see some of these things. But I hear saints and all, Jesus Christ to shore up against it. My dad, my mother, my husband, my wife, my boy, my girl. Listen, Jesus Christ isn't up against anything. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things. The gospel, believe it, it'll work. It will work. That husband that won't yield to God, stop worrying about him. Take your burdens to the Lord. Put them on the Lord. Let him take them. Believe him for them. He'll take care of that husband. I'll tell you, he'll ring him around. If you just turn him loose and let God have him, he'll ring him out like I could ring out a handkerchief. I've seen it happen. Oh, it's just when people won't believe God. They don't believe what this says. The contents of this gospel, however, is not limited to just what it can save us from. This gospel has offered to the child of God heirship with Jesus Christ, joint heirs, if they want to be. I have no way of telling you that. Do you know why I'm what I am? The gospel. Why? There's sometimes a spirit of discernment comes on me. And I can know things that I couldn't possibly know. I'm no fortune teller. I'm no mind reader. That's in the gospel. I have the gospel. I have everything I need. In the gospel there is everything. And then it's great because of the freeness of its conditions. Oh, when I think of how it begins with its unlimited pardon, ends with a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And I realize that the eternities can never exhaust, but only divulge the worth of this gospel to my life. I say, thank God that I'm a child of the King. But then, think of its conditions. Now you notice I said free, not cheap. So despite the fearfulness of its cost and the fullness of its contents, so mighty, so matchless, still it's free. Without money, without price, thou of works lest any man should boast. Search this Bible and everything that's associated with our salvation. You'll find it's on the condition of grace. Every conceivable way, every possible appeal is free. It's a gift. It's gratis. The poorest and the richest have to get it alike. The youngest and the eldest have to get it alike. The strongest and the weakest have to get it alike. And the Jew and the Gentile and all must come freely. Receive the waters of life freely. There's no barrier. There's no condition. And no hindrance but unbelief. Do you know I've had men and women and boys and girls over the years tell me, Brother Hill, I can't get saved. My wife won't let me. My husband won't let me. My dad won't let me. My mother won't let me. Now, wait a minute. Let's don't say it's dad and mother and brother and sister and wife and husband. Let's just say I don't believe God. That's what it is. Brother Hatchell, how many tried to stop you? Just one thing could have stopped you. Unbelief. What tried to stop you, son? The establishment. The hypocrisy. All of these other things. Plus, plus, plus. And you'd been raised a Catholic. A lot of things. Besides, you knew there was nothing to it anyway. None of it stopped you. Someone says, well, my husband's giving me an awful time. He says, I can't come to church. Oh, yes, you can if you believe God. See? Why? Would you rather believe God or your husband? I remember Brother Sister Honaker wasn't in the church at that time. Back in Missouri, we had one old boy. I've told the story before. One old boy, his wife came in, got filled with the Spirit, and you fought like a demon. Came one Saturday night on the way home. He said, you'll never go to that place again, and damn, 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 and ho, 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 and you're never going back to that place again. Tuesday morning, the Lord just stopped his heart. We buried old Gilbert. His wife came on to church. Had another fellow. His daughter came in the meeting. Came in there and dragged her away from the altar. Next day, they were putting a sewer in our city back there. And the next day, that thing caved in on him. And they said he hollered and prayed you could hurt him a mile. Now you start believing God. God is not in a corner cringing at the threat of somebody. Listen, he wants you to believe him. He wants you to be like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They said, be this known unto you, O King. We're not careful to answer you in this matter. Now our God is able to deliver us from that furnace. But if he don't, be it known to you, we'll not bow down and worship your gods. They believe God. Can you imagine that old king? I suspect he thought he was having delusions. He probably thought he took one of these capsules some of you young people took. He looked down in that furnace and he said, didn't we throw three in there? I see four. out did you ever get in there? And he said, I tell you, he looks like the Son of Man. Well, I'll tell you, that old boy's ready to get on his knees and pray. Brought him out. Didn't do a thing but just set him free. You couldn't even smell the smoke on him. That's right. That's right. Just burn the bonds off. I challenge you to do that. God can do anything. He can make a fire come so close that it'll burn the ropes on your wrist, but never warm your wrist. That's God. Well, it's free. Absolutely free. We, so considering the cost and the contents and the freeness, isn't it a marvel that anyone would hesitate to come and get it? You'd think that people would just move out. But what are the consequences? You think, why do people neglect? Well, the natural man is at enmity with God. First of all, did you know you have a nature that's against God? It isn't against religion. It isn't against joining a church. It isn't against just reading the Bible. It isn't against a lot of things. Why do sinners walk up and down these streets knocking on doors and telling you that they represent God? But let somebody corner one of them with the gospel and you'll find out what they are. See? And so, you see, why do we neglect? You see, the natural man seizes on every kind of an excuse. A relative, a friend, a pleasure is in the way. I'm not so bad. I can't stand hypocrites. I will someday. Well, how shall we escape if we neglect? What about the consequences of neglecting? That is, suppose you know you're a sinner and something of the cost to redeem you, neglect to go and go into eternity without Christ. You see, when you go into eternity, having neglected your salvation, the God that so loved you that he gave his son to die for you is going to be against you. And Jesus, who so loved you that he was willing to die on a cross for you, is going to be against you. And the Holy Spirit, who has come and knocked at your door again and again, is going to be against you. And I'll tell you more than that. We who pray and love and would serve you tonight, if you come to that time, you're going to hear me and all like me say amen. True and righteous are thy judgments. You're doing the right thing. Do it. Tonight, I hear men speak about God judging people, and I, out of the compassion of my heart, I cry, God forbid! God forbid that anyone be the devil's tormented soul throughout the ages of eternity. But precious hearts, you see, it just simply may happen to you. And you think of God's unchangeable law. If you make the choice to go against him, he's going to have to judge you. You'll have to face the judgment. You can't escape it, or you can't possibly put it off as you did your salvation. You can't hide. You can't atone. You will have no arguments, no alibis. There, Jesus, who died for you, will be against you. The Bible says, he who despised Moses' law died without mercy. Under two or three witnesses, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. Thank God, We're in a time of grace here tonight, and we so often have opportunity again and again, but one day the Bible will prove to be true in its statement, he who often being reproved, who stiffeth his heart, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without a remedy. Now, in closing, I want to tell the story. This was a true story also. In the days of the circuit riding preachers, there was an old Methodist preacher named Daniel Curry. And he was on his way up through the sand hills that is now Nebraska. And he lost his way and was caught out after night. But he wasn't greatly excited because they usually carried provision along, and so he got off his horse and made a little camp, made a fire, and ate, tethered his horse, and got his blanket out, and lay down for the night. And when he did, he went to sleep, and he dreamed. And this is what he dreamed. He dreamed he went to heaven. And as he stood at the pearly gates and knocked, a great angel came and asked for his name and the reason for him being there. And he answered, "I am Daniel Curry. I am come to claim my mansion." And the angel turned the pages of a book and he said, "Well, your name isn't here. You just are at the wrong place." And he said, "I don't care. If it isn't in that book, it's in the Lamb's book, and I'm coming in." Well, the angel said, "Do you want to argue it out with God?" He said, "Yes, I do." Well, he said, in this dream, the angel took him up at the speed of thought, and soon he approached a brightness blinding to no end. The angel put him down, and Curry looked up to see a white throne, the brightness of which immediately struck him down, and in terror he fell like dead to the pavement of gold. And a voice said, "Who art thou, and what seekest thou?" He said he couldn't rise or speak in his dream. And again the voice said, "Who art thou, and what doest thou here?" He said such a dread and such a fear came over him, he thought he would die. And the voice said again, "Speak, mortal, who are you, and why are you here?" He said as he lay as close as he could on his face, on the pavement, he heard the sound of sandaled feet. Someone came and bent over him, and an arm reached down around him. Then gently, sweetly, tenderly, a voice spoke, "Father, this is Daniel Curry. He confessed me before men when he was there on earth, and any charge you have against him, put it to my account." Isn't that wonderful? That's just the way it is. You see, I can stand up here tonight and I can say, I know my sins are gone. You say, "You must think you're pretty good." Oh, no, I don't question that I'm the worst among us tonight. You'd have had a heyday with me, Brother Geese, if you could have caught me. That's right. You see, precious hearts, I can stand up here and say, positively, most assuredly, convinced And with such a peace and such a joy and such a rest about it, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know I'm saved. I know I have eternal life. I know nothing can pluck me out of His hand. I know I'm going to heaven. And I know I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, if so be that I suffer with Him. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Let's pray. Now, while every head is bowed, I want to pray for you. I'm not trying to trap you. I learned a long time ago when I was a little farm boy that if you tried to help a chicken out of the egg, you'd maybe kill him. Tried to help a rose bud bloom, you'd spoil it. I believe the Holy Spirit will deal with you. And I believe He don't have to have my help to do His work. But the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if you want me to pray for you on my left, raise your hand. Many hands on my right. Many hands. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we come again. So grateful for so great salvation. In that capacity that we are needy here tonight, may we through faith in the promise of God appropriate that which you've so freely given us, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name.